Bruce, Julian, hey, this is Rob Novak, wishing you congratulations on the Taking Notes podcast, episode number 100. Hope you guys have enjoyed the ride and continue to do so. Hey, here's a few notes from some other friends of yours in the Lotus world. Hope to see you soon, maybe in, Orlando. Take care.
Hey, Bruce. Congratulations on reaching an amazing milestone with podcast number 100. You've come a long way since that guy I met wearing the Notes OSS shirt that gave the IBM lawyer such nightmares. I know IBM and the Lotus customers and partners have really benefited from your hard work. My best wishes to you and your family and continued success. Take care, buddy.
Hi, Bruce. It's Tim Clark from IBM. Congratulations on reaching 100. I must say the years have been kind to you, fella. Take it easy and well done and happy birthday.
Hi, Bruce and Julian. This is Bob Balaban. I'm Benjiing in to offer you my congratulations on the 100th episode of Taking Notes podcast. We all in the Yellow Sphere owe you a huge thanks for helping to educate and, now and then, even entertain us. Keep it up. Remember what Einstein said, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing, and so is a lot. Take care.
Bruce, Julian, Kevin Pettit here. For this podcast and everything you do to make Lotus World a better place, thank you, and congratulations on your 100th episode.
Bruce, congratulations on your 100th Taking Notes podcast. Amazing. Excellent work, dude.
Hey, Bruce, it's Chris Miller from the I Do Notes podcast just saying congratulations on number 100. Hopefully there's 100 more in you. I know you're a little busy over there. We just want to send our congrats from over here at Spike Studios Productions.
It was back in the autumn of 2005 when Bruce Elgort was tidying his basement after a particularly bad infestation of moose. He noticed that one of the mooses had dropped some podcasting equipment in their exit from the basement. Bruce was taken over with an urge to make a podcast. And this he did with his compadre Julian, and they're now at episode 100. Well done, lads. Keep it up. Fraternal hugs and lots of raising of glasses from Steve over here in Ireland at dominoyesmaybe.com. Central.
Hallo Bruce und Julian, das ist Volker Weber. 100 Taking Notes Podcast, das ist ein Brett. Alles Gute, vielen Dank und in Zukunft schneller, härter und nicht so viel Vorspiel.
Hey Bruce and Julian, congratulations on the 100th episode. That is absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for doing this. I look very much forward to hearing the next 100. Eileen Fitzgerald here.
Hey Bruce and Julian, this is Joe Whitten. I didn't think the internets and podcasts would last this long, and now you guys have gotten up to 100 episodes of the Taking Notes podcast. That is truly amazing. Thanks, you guys, for everything you do for the Notes community. Cheers.
Hey, Bruce and Julian, it's Matt White. Congratulations on your 100th episode of the Taking Notes podcast. Now, Bruce, you need to get finished quickly with this as you're getting behind on your coding for IQ Jam. But in the meantime, here's to another 100 episodes, and congratulations again.
Hello, Bruce Elgort and Julian Robichaud. This is Greyhawk68, John Rowling, your disembodied announcer voice. I just want to say congratulations on 100 episodes of the Taking Notes podcast, and by now, I'm wondering where the hell my check is. Anyway, it's a huge accomplishment, guys. I'm very proud to have been a small part of this party. You do this community a great service, so thank you very much, and here's hoping for 100 more. This episode of the Taking Notes podcast is brought to you by Kinexys, the makers of NSF Rewind. NSF Rewind is the world's first field-level data backup and auditing utility for Lotus Notes and Domino databases. NSF Rewind monitors each field in your notes document and keeps a record of all changes that occur, allowing you to quickly and easily restore data to individual fields. Why waste time trying to restore data from tape backup when you can simply rewind it? Try NSF Rewind for free today by going to nsfrewind.com. That's nsfrewind.com. It's time for the Taking Notes podcast with Julian Robichaud and Bruce Elgort.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 100 of the Taking Notes podcast. My name is Bruce Elgort, and I am here with
Julian Robichaud.
And for episode 100, we've decided to gather a couple of X-Pages gurus from around the world, then talk about all things X-Pages. So, Julian, what do we talk about
relating to X Pages with these gurus?
Well, we had Matt White, and he's going to be the guy with the British accent. And he discussed, his perspective, I guess, is going to be that he's written some enterprise level X Pages applications over the last couple of years with you, Bruce, the Task Jam and Idea Jam and IQ Jam, and just talking about his experiences with X Page development. We have Declan Lynch, who's going to be the guy with the Irish accent, and he's going to talk about the 54-page series of articles that he wrote just about learning X Pages and how X Pages work, especially as you're first exposed to them, and also the XTalk application that he put out and is available on OpenNTF right now as an open source app. And also Peter Presnell, who's going to be the guy with the Australian accent, and he discusses his background, I guess, is as a .NET guy. Or not entirely .NET, but he's done some .NET development. He said that X Pages actually has a very similar paradigm from developing from .NET to X Pages, I guess. It was a similar kind of experience. And he also has been working with Nicholas and Steve Castledine on the X Pages-based discussion template that either is or is going to be on OpenNTF as well.
So we also talked about the OpenNTF Lotus Awards that were announced a couple of weeks ago, and there's two awards. One is for an individual and one is for a business partner, and you'll learn about that that contest going on. So hope you enjoy episode 100. So let's have a listen to Declan, Matt, Peter, Julian, and myself talking about X Pages. Well, on today's show, we have Declan Go Steelers Lynch from Pittsburgh. Good day, Declan. Welcome to the Taking Notes podcast.
Hey, thanks, Bruce. Nice to be here.
And from London, England, we have Sir Matt White.
Good afternoon.
And from California, we have Peter .NET Presnell.
G'day, Bruce. How are you?
Good. How are you? And Julian from Atlanta, Georgia. How are you, Julian?
I'm doing fantastic, Bruce.
Julian, what are we going to be talking with these fine gentlemen today about?
Well, I think that we are talking about X Pages, right?
That's going to be it. And for those of you who don't know, anytime you go to a conference of late and you walk into an X Pages session, the two names pop up right away, and that's Matt White and Declan Lynch. Declan, you wrote a 54-part series on learning X Pages. Can you tell us about that series and what inspired you to do it and kind of, what you learned?
Sure. Well, that series was really my learning of X Pages as well, and just wanted to share as I went along what I was learning. The idea I wanted to do was just get a standard application that a lot of notes developers would create. First thing on the job, they're always asked to do some sort of phone book application or something like that. So I said, hey, I'm going to sit down and write a phone book application in X Pages and just basically blog every single step along the way, and ended up with 54 parts of a blog series on how to write an X Pages app. It was a good learning experience for me. And from what I can tell, it's been a very good learning experience for everybody else who's read the series.
So Declan, when was your first introduction to X Pages? When did you first say, ooh, I need to learn X Pages?
I would say it would have to be at Lotus Fair last year, and there was quite a lot of X Pages sessions. And before that, I had not really looked at it, but went to the X Pages sessions, and I think it just clicked. It just went, wow, these are really cool. Coming from writing other web-based applications such as Blogsphere to seeing what X Pages could do, it was like, I need to learn this, and I need to learn it quickly.
Mm-hmm. And for those of you who don't know, Declan is the author of the OpenNTF blogging template called Blogsphere. I've personally been using Blogsphere since, in fact, I'm still using version 1.2. But it's a fine template that Declan wrote. So let's hop over to Matt. Matt, how about yourself? When did you first get started with X Pages? And, why don't you also tell us some of the things that you felt were natural dev type things for someone coming over from traditional Domino development to XPages?
Well, I started a group of European business partners and customers got invited over to Dublin back before 850 was released, back last June or July, I think it was. And we spent a couple of days in Dublin just building an application with some IBMers in the room. And I really enjoyed it. So I was an early convert to XPages. So we started playing around with them in the early betas of 850. And I decided, or we decided, that we were going to rewrite IdeaJam into XPages, which then took us several more months after that. Not being as public-spirited as Declan, of course, it's all hidden away in the design of our templates, not on the internet. So we've been playing around with it for about sort of 18 months now, I guess, maybe a bit less. But in terms of getting going, it was it's quite a steep learning curve if you've just done like LotusScript and AppFormula. Because there's quite a lot of other things that you have to learn. The whole web side of things is a lot more complicated than just Notes client development. Luckily, I'd done a lot of Notes Domino development, but also some J2EE development as well, so it wasn't all too scary for me. But certainly there's quite a steep learning curve for the first couple of weeks where you're having to pick up the new syntax and the new way of doing things. But after that, I find it levels off pretty quickly. So I think within a couple of weeks, I was certainly finding that I was able to be fairly productive just by digging around in the source code and having a look at the examples in the discussion template and things like that.
Okay. Well, the other person we have online here, Peter Presnell. Now, Peter, you came, I guess, surprisingly from the .NET side of the world, not Australia, but... .NET programming. Now, how did you transition from that over to XPages? What was the story there?
Well, I actually was doing web or notes and web development before XPages, so it wasn't that I rushed back because XPages was there, so I jumped from .NET. But what I have found is that there's a lot of similarities with the way .NET works. The ASP.NET lifecycle is very similar to the XPage lifecycle. So I've been able to combine my experience with that with my notes background to, I guess, help me, because it is a fairly long learning curve to get on top of XPages. And I think my .NET experience has certainly been most useful in helping me to understand what's going on and how to write code, because it is quite different, I find, than writing code. Certainly writing code for Notes client development, it's very different, and it is quite different for writing web notes or web development.
Well, I think that the first question that a lot of people have that are notes developers, just especially traditional notes developers, is how do I get started on this? What's the best route to actually saying, all right, I'm going to get my hands dirty with XPages? And, a lot of times it's because the boss tells you to, or because you decide that this is just some kind of new technology that you want to learn. Now, as far as learning, kind of resources and things like that, Declan, you have your, 1500 part series of articles or something. For learning the XPages. Now, at the time you wrote that was kind of in the midst of you learning how to program in XPages. Is that right?
That'd be right. Yeah, and I would be the first to admit that the stuff in there, which going back now would go, ooh, that's not really the best way of doing it. It was the only way I knew how at the time, but now having learned more, I'd go back and go, I'd do it this way, or I'd change it to a different method of doing such and such a procedure. So if you want to get started in XPages, it is a good starting point. It will get you going, in the right direction. But once you finish that series, there are a lot of other resources on the web that you should start looking at.
Okay, well, I guess as far as, kind of your learning curve in XPages and things like that, that's kind of interesting because... if you're saying there's things that maybe you would have done differently, is that something that you would figure out sort of at the end of the series of articles? Like you would get to the end and you would say, oh gosh, yeah, the stuff I did back here, I would do differently? Or was that something that you learned pretty pretty long after the fact, just in doing other applications.
I think it was a big a mix of both. I've written on the XPages blog all about the One UI theme, and I didn't use a lot of the special theming document or systems that are part of XPages in the blog series. So that would be something I'd go back and go, hey, I should do it using the proper One UI theme information.
Okay. And I know there's some stuff that's new in 8.5.1. You know, XPages were new in 8.5.0, and then now suddenly 8.5.1 brought these additional changes. Is that something that you specifically talked about in maybe the XPages blog, Declan? I know that Matt has some information on that.
Not me. I haven't looked at too much of the specific 8.5.1 stuff yet.
Okay. Well, I'm going to switch directly to Matt then, because Matt, you've got an application that only runs on 8.5.1. Now, what are the things in 8.5.1 that are so important that you really want to use those, and you're just not even going to worry about backwards compatibility to 8.5.0?
From our point of view, there was actually just one single command that actually made the decision for us, which is this synchronization. In 8.5.0, there was no way of synchronizing code so that it could only run once. So that it could act as a blocking mechanism and only run once when called multiple times. And since that got added in 8.5.1, we've just seen really dramatic performance improvements through the use of it. So we just didn't want to have to go back and support 8.5.0. And as much as anything else, the differences between 8.5.0 and 8.5.1, there's just lots of little differences apart from that one that make supporting the two together actually surprisingly difficult. So we just took the decision that from our customer base that we knew most people would go straight up to 8.5.1, having probably not deployed 8.5.0 in the first place. So it was quite an easy decision from our point of view. There is an article on the XPages blog that Peter wrote actually with a whole list of different changes and whatever in terms of the client support, new controls, new properties and changes and things like that. So it's worth having a look. But there's even silly things like I found during the week when I was upgrading an application from 8.5.0 to 8.5.1 that some of the order of execution of some events has changed. So if you've got code that relies on certain things happening in certain orders, then you can't have that between 8.5.0 and 8.5.1. So being able to just say, right, we're not going to support 8.5.0 is an easier way to go for support purposes.
So Peter, you're the one who wrote that entry on the XPages blog that talked about some of the new stuff in 8.5.1. You care to talk about some of that stuff?
Yeah. Well, the first thing that struck me was it was actually difficult to find what had been added with 8.5.1, and there was quite a bit of information being thrown out about what's in 8.5.1 in general, but I had to figure it out because at the moment I'm using my shiny new 8.5.1 designer client, but the servers that I'm currently deploying onto are still 8.5, and I think it was Matt wrote an article. Oh, no, actually, it was Paul Hanen that wrote an article about some of the issues that you can encounter if you're running an 8.5.1 designer client against an 8.5 server. So I thought I'd search through and find all the things that are there in 8.5.1 that I can't really use yet. Or at least I can use them at home, but when I'm working with an 8.5 server, these are the things that I couldn't use. So I actually searched through all the material, searched the internet, and then put it all down into a blog entry. And now when I'm working, I actually can refer to that list and say, man, I wish I had that now, but just at this moment, that's a feature that I can't use with this particular application.
So I'm going to throw this question. We'll start with Declan, then Matt, then Peter. Declan, what are some of the things that you really, really enjoy and make that XPages makes life easier doing with 8.5.1 per se? And also, what are some of the things that you feel are still harder to do than they should be? So we'll start with Declan, then Matt, then Peter.
Okay. In XPages in general, I would have to say being able to reuse controls. Just being able to create the control once and then just drag it into any XPage that you need that particular functionality. And that is probably the biggest time saver in developing any Domino web application using XPages. One thing I would love to see in a future version are some more custom or some more controls based around some of the Lotus Domino functions. The biggest one being a name picker. Whoever writes the best name picker is probably going to have a path beaten to their door.
Matt, how about yourself?
In terms of the things that I like most about X Pages, I'd agree with Deck, the ability to reuse custom controls, but also things like the repeat control. I just find that it's so powerful, and it does things that would have been really quite difficult to do in classic Notes and Domino applications, that it actually means I'm able to do things in an X Pages app that I just couldn't do in prior versions of Domino. So it's actually adding functionality. It's not just a different way of doing the same things. Now, that being said, I still think there are some issues that need to be sorted out. And the one thing that everyone seems to go on and on about is the lack of documentation. It's really, really difficult to find out some either general introductory things and also really deep techie things as well. So there's two ends of the spectrum are quite underserved in the documentation at the moment. And just one other thing that some things are just too complicated as well at the moment. So it's things like Deck talked about implementing the One UI look and feel, which is what you'll see on the discussion template, for example, and also Xtalk and various other things. It's very difficult to do that sort of thing. There's a documentation now on One UI, but you're still looking at sort of tens of pages of documentation just for a CSS framework when you're comparing it to something like Blueprint or the 960 grid system or YUI, which are really very, very simple. It's slightly disappointing that it takes a whole day to get a UI working.
How about you, Peter?
Well, I'm an object-oriented programmer, so the thing that I like most about X Pages is the new server-sided JavaScript language. It allows me to do things that I could only dream about with LotusScript, and so I really love getting in there and programming with this new language. The more I use it, the more I love it. On the downside, the thing that I've struggled with the most is a lack of a debugger for server-sided JavaScript. Being new to X Pages, I tend to make a few mistakes, and it's just a painful process to go through and find where those mistakes are without having a debugger that allows me to step through my code, something that I was used to using when I was doing .NET development. And the second thing is X Pages for the Notes client. I'd probably do 90% of my development for the Notes client, and at the moment X Pages is not really giving me a compelling reason to write an X Page and then deliver it to everyone that has a Notes client.
And Matt, very quickly, you mentioned Blueprint CSS. I just wanted to ask you what you thought about Blueprint. I've looked at it myself. All it really gives me is, you know, a grid for laying out stuff, but for everything else, I need to write my own CSS. Is there an advantage in using Blueprint over One UI?
I mean, you're absolutely right. It is just a grid system, but it takes away that element from you having to worry about laying out the basic framework of the application. And in terms of the rest of it, to be honest, I mean, I'm not a designer, as Bruce will attest, but it's really just doing colors and that sort of thing is not the difficult part about writing the website. It's getting everything positioned properly is always the challenge, I find, especially across browsers. And One UI, I think, is perfectly fine as a UI. I mean, personally, I don't like it as a look and feel. I think it's a bit too IBM to be used outside too much, but it's just that it's so difficult to get a basic framework. I mean, if there were custom controls that you could drop, that you could use to do your layouts, and you could just drag and drop into your application, that would be very cool. But at the moment, you have to either tear apart Xtalk or you have to tear apart the discussion database, and that's quite a lot of work to get all of that into your new application.
Is there anything you've found on top of Blueprint that can give you a nice look and feel, you know, apart from just the layout, but actual, you know, block elements that you can just drop onto a page?
Yeah, if you go to twitter.com/BELGORT, he's quite good at that stuff.
Hey, I had a question about Peter's Debugging. Declan or Matt, can you add any debugging tips for people out there? I mean, some tips to get started for newbies trying to debug?
Well, the easiest one is just the print statement in your server-side JavaScript. You can just add print, and then in brackets you can print a message so you can track on the server console what's actually happening as the code executes. Sort of more advanced than that, you can start getting into there is no stepping through the code, unfortunately, but you can start using things like OpenLog, which we wrote an extension for TaskJam and all of our applications, that you can just take the script library from taskjam.net, and that will write to the OpenLog database rather than out to the server console, so you can use that for logging and track through your code that way. But beyond that, it's just a matter really of turning on the default error page in the XPages application properties, so that at least when things do fail, you can track down the line that it's failed on, what the error message was, and that sort of thing, without just an error 500 appearing on the browser. Mm.
Declan, you care to add to that?
Just one additional thing. If you look in the source code for Xtalk on OpenNTF, there are a couple of custom controls in there, which are basically debuggers for the session scope or all the different scope variables. And what you can do is add that to the bottom of your page and basically keep an eye on what values you're storing in all the scope variables, and even have the ability to delete something from the scope variable. I found that very handy as you're progressing through the page or through your application to see what you're pushing into the scope and what's changing at each step.
So Matt, now we talked about TaskJam a little bit in the context of Blueprint and examples and things like that. Now, were you using Blueprint at the point that you released TaskJam into the wild?
No, we actually were using YUI, which is the Yahoo user interface grids layout in TaskJam, and we use that in IdeaJam as well. And I mean, to be honest, one framework is as good as another. They all do a fairly basic job very well. We've switched to Blueprint for IQJam just because we had some more testing requirements that YUI couldn't quite meet for that application. But one framework, they're pretty much interchangeable. TaskJam, you can download and you can rip apart and find out how we used the YUI framework in there.
Okay, and then since we have, you know, three people here on the line that can discuss free XPages open source apps, Peter, now what project are you involved in that deals with specifically open source XPages kinds of things?
Well, one of them is Discussion Next Gen, which is an OpenNTF project that IBM are participating with. I believe Steve Castledine is looking after predominantly the XPage side of things, so he could probably speak more about that, but it's already been put out there. It's open sourced on OpenNTF, so it's another example of an XPage application that people can download and pull apart. I'm also in the process of taking my own .domino framework, which I built some time ago. It's a LotusScript-based Note 6 client set of tools and code that was put together in a framework, and as I'm going through and learning XPages, I'm actually now putting together a series of libraries and components and tools that are developed specifically for XPages, and hopefully by the end of today I'll have the first alpha copy of that downloaded on OpenNTF, which will have some of the things that I've done, such as, you know, reproducing an outline using the digit tree control and how you use a frame set to then actually launch URLs into a frame on the side rather than having to load up a completely new XPage, which seems to be one of the limitations that's there. But generally, I've just followed the same path many did. I read Declan's 54-part series, and then I downloaded all the examples that I could find of XPage applications and then tried to pull them apart and figure out what I was doing wrong. And I was doing a lot wrong.
You know, speaking of more free stuff, Declan, you recently released on OpenNTF your Xtalk application. You want to talk a little bit about that? I mean, that app is a big departure from, you know, some of the like things like Blogsphere. You can configure and manage the entire application through the web. So tell us about Xtalk.
Okay. Well, Xtalk is another discussion forum type application. It's very different from the discussion forums or discussion template that you get in Notes, insofar that it's designed to be a single application that can host multiple discussions areas. If you've ever looked at any of the PHP bulletin type web forums, you'll recognize what Xtalk looks like very quickly. As you said, it's designed so you can manage the entire system from within the XPage application. And the reason for doing this is because I wanted to take advantage of the new feature in 8.5.1, which is basically XPages in the client. By doing XPages in the client, you have to consider how is the end user going to be able to configure and use the application, because they're not going to have a normal Notes client interface. They're going to be seeing the, you know, XPages version in their Notes client. So everything is done via the Notes client through XPages. In itself, it's a very simple application. If you do download it from OpenNTF and look at the source, you'll find there's four views and four forms, and everything else is done in XPages and custom controls.
Well, we talked a lot about OpenNTF, the next-gen discussion template, the Xtalk application, you know, of course, Blogsphere we mentioned. And something new this year with the Lotus Awards are two awards specifically for open source initiatives. And those two awards actually are Best Open Source Contribution by an Individual. And there's a second one, Best Open Source Solution by a Business Partner. And just to read you what the requirements are for the one, actually they're both kind of the same, but entries will be judged based upon the wow factor and completeness of the solution. That's 30%. So when you write your application or submit your application, actually, you want to make sure that, you know, 30% is going to be judged on the wow factor, and then 10% for innovation, and then overall business value that they demonstrate 30%, and some more things. So there's a lot of great apps on OpenNTF, and I think if I were a judge, it would be really hard. I mean, there's so many great apps out there. What you guys? What are some of your favorite apps?
My favorite apps. there are too many apps. I mean, we don't know who's going to be entering the competition yet for an award, but I would encourage everybody who is an OpenNTF project manager to look at their project and see if they can enter it in or not. If they can, they really should. It's going to be a good competition or a good an award to have. And one of the nice things is that it's been judged exactly like all the other Lotus awards. There's going to be a team of IBM judges and a team of people from the press and industry who are going to be judging it. It's not the OpenNTF committee or anything like that that's going to be judging any of the submissions. It is going to be done the exact same way as other Lotus awards. So who knows who's going to win?
Yeah, and that's and the other thing to mention, as I read before, the requirements for the individual award, they're giving the same type of award to a business partner, I guess, who has submitted an application that demonstrates all those things that I spoke of before, the wow factor, the end user experience, and all that kind of stuff. And I think what that means for a lot of OpenNTF apps is that, like Declan, you kind of alluded to, that the people who will be judging these apps are going to look for, you know, complete solutions, right? That include some form of maybe documentation, screenshots, you know, exceptional user interface design and stuff like that. Is that, am I saying the right thing here, Declan?
I think so. They are going to be looking for complete solutions. They do want to see documentation. And the idea behind the awards is really to encourage new developers to create solutions and put them on OpenNTF.
Yeah, in fact, the last sentence that you find on the Lotus Award site, a special consideration will be given to developers new to the Notes and Domino development environment. So that's kind of a unique qualification characteristic there. Let's see. So the award deadline for submitting stuff, I think, is the 16th of November. Is that correct? Can someone verify that for me? I think I may have written down the wrong date in my show notes here.
No, it's the 6th of January is the deadline for submissions, and the announcement of the winners at Lotusphere. So,
well, is that really correct though? I thought the Lotus Award deadline was November 16th.
Yeah, it is. It's the 16th.
Is it? No. Okay, because on the OpenNTF blog, it says the deadline for submissions is January 6th.
Yeah, I think
I was just going on the Lotus Awards site.
How far back does it go to? Like, can you submit OpenLog and Domino Wiki, or is it only things created this year?
Well, you know,
You can submit anything.
You can submit anything. I would never submit OpenLog, mostly because they have some specific things in here about how they really want the open source contributions to be using new technologies.
Yeah.
In fact, here it is on the blog. It said, for both categories, Lotus Awards will be presented to the individual business partner that provides the best template, solution, or sample made available via open source to openntf.org. The judging will favor offerings that leverage new technology innovations introduced into Lotus Notes or Lotus Domino 8.x, such as XPages, widgets, Eclipse plugins for Sidebar, for example, and Lotus Symphony. Entries will be judged based on wow factor and innovation, potential business value, and possible reuse and documentation. So I kind of read that as they're looking for some really good examples of the new technology that's available in 8.x.
Okay. So like Declan said before, everyone's encouraged to take those apps that they've squirreled away and maybe haven't posted to OpenNTF yet, get them posted through the appropriate processes on OpenNTF, and good luck to all of you who may be submitting applications for the OpenNTF Lotus Award. So we covered a lot today. We talked to Peter, Declan, and Matt a lot about XPages, and I want to go around and ask everyone one more time, for those people who haven't really got involved in XPages yet, tell us some of the things, the wow things that you'll be able to do with XPages, and why you should start developing in XPages now, and possibly maybe stop developing in your old school Domino technique. So we'll start with Matt.
Well, I think the key is not to stop developing in your old school techniques. I think the best way of going is to merge it into your old school techniques. It's just another tool in the box. So if you've got a web page that is particularly difficult to create, then you're finding yourself having to write tons of agents and things like that, then think about writing an X page instead, because you'll probably be able to pull the HTML together better using an X page than writing some agent that has to pump out hundreds of lines of HTML. So it's that sort of thing that I think X pages can really shine. It's integrating it into your existing applications.
How about you, Mr. Presnell?
Well, I view XPages more from its potential. So even if you're not going to be developing a lot of applications today, it is quite a large learning curve. So I wish I'd started a little bit earlier than I did, because it's taking me a lot longer than I would like to build applications. But I'm learning this now because of more what it's going to be able to do in the future than rather than what it can actually do today. Because there are, you know, it's only largely for the web, and you wouldn't throw away a lot of your existing apps to replace them with XPages, because there's still a lot of things XPages can't do. But if you want to be in position so that when the next versions of XPages comes out, you will have gotten over all the basic learning curves of how you write your code. And I'd say, even after a couple of months, I'd go back and rewrite most of what I wrote in the first 2 months and start afresh. So it's about positioning yourself as a Notes developer so that as this technology improves, and I'm pretty sure you're going to see a lot of improvements made by IBM over the next couple of years, that as it grows and your company decides that it's going to throw applications specifically at this technology, you're going to be in a position then to take advantage of it, and you're going to be able to pull a lot of wow in your, particularly your web applications, that you've not been able to do without an awful lot of effort in the past.
And Mr. Declan?
I would have to, you know, agree with Matt and Peter. It's going to save an awful lot of, you know, time. Always look at, you know, the stuff that you're doing at the moment, if it's possible to do it in X pages. I think you'll find once you're over the learning curve and everything has clicked, you're going to find that it's going to save you an awful lot of time. Writing a web application using X pages can be a lot simpler than writing some of those really long agents, web query open agents that we've been using in the past to create good domino web applications. So I think the biggest thing is going to be the amount of time you're going to save. But don't tell your boss that.
Julian, you have any questions for the gentleman here regarding X pages or the OpenNTF Awards or anything else X pages goodness?
X pages goodness. No, I think we just had some good X pages goodness. And, you know, I think for anyone who's listening right now, you know, definitely we're going to have some links in the show notes to some of the open source things that we talked about, some links to the awards. If you're submitting one of your applications for one of the awards, which, you know, please do. And if you have older applications, then go ahead and update them and put the new stuff in there. And I think that's that would be probably a good idea as well. And also a link to like the X Pages blog and Declan's 54-part series, and the wiki. There is learning opportunities out there, I think, for this sort of thing. Part of it is you just have to jump in there and start doing it, right? But you know, at the same time, even if the documentation isn't necessarily all in one place, there's not an X Pages book that you can read. There certainly is some learning resources, and you know, you can do this too.
All right, well, that's it for episode 100 of the Taking Notes podcast. We'd like to thank Declan Lynch, Matt White, and Peter Presnell for talking about X Pages, and we'll put links to all of their blogs and Twitter accounts and whatever other social media links we want to throw in there to for you guys to follow or contact these gentlemen. So, Peter, thanks for being on the show.
Been a pleasure.
And Declan, as usual, you know, you've been on the show several times. Thanks for your time today.
No problem. Always nice to be here.
And Matt, you know, the guy I speak to every day, thanks for talking about X Pages. So,
not a problem. Always good to speak to you.
And Julian, thanks for hooking up for 100, our centennial episode.
Yeah. Now, I was surprised at the actual lack of ABBA music on this podcast so far.
This is the recording portion. There's something called post-production, and you just never know what kind of ABBA music may show up. And for those of you who don't know, we won't talk about ABBA, okay? We're just not going to go there, okay?
All right.
That's like talking about urinal cakes.
Which we also won't talk about.
Right, exactly. So thanks, everyone, again, for listening, and we'll talk to you all soon.